Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
So I would probably say decision-making is probably where you see, you know, because some of it physically, like, again, you're going to watch that first drive of the third quarter when we went down and scored, and there's going to be times in there, it's after he throws it, or it's the little bit of the gimp afterwards that you'll see it. And there'll be some times when, again, you won't see him stepping in and throws us all arm. But when you're producing and decisions are good, then great. But when it starts to affect a little bit of your decisions because of your injury, that's when I think you got to draw the line and say, okay, when is it becoming a part to where it maybe is affecting the team? And that's not an easy call. You got to go with your gut on that, and you got to go with talking through as to, that's why I did that and talked to him one-on-one like that, because that's about as real as it gets. You know, is me, and it's impossible to have privacy. So I put so I can have a little privacy. But that was a very real conversation. It wasn't easy for him, and I just wanted him to know that we support him. But I want to do what's best not only for him but for our team as well. And that's what it was.
Mitch looked emotional during that, whether it was because he was hurting or he didn't want to leave the game because he wanted to see it through at the end. And you know, that was a much different Mitch Trubisky than we've ever seen on the podium as well.
Well, I think Mitch is going to get an opportunity to keep playing. So you're going to have an opportunity to change the narrative.
Nagy did say today that Mitch is their starting quarterback if he is healthy. Now, he used his old, we're going to work through that, when asked if he will start this week, if he is healthy enough.
He's got to play. I mean, if he's healthy enough.
Are you betting that he plays this weekend?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Like, and the sports doctor, Dr. Chow, used to be the team physician for the Chargers. Now, a lot of people don't love him, but I find his info pretty useful. He believes that he's more hurt than injured. Is that the way to phrase it, right? You could play through being hurt. You can't be.
There's a difference between soreness and an injury. So yeah, I mean, I guess if that's the word you're going to use,
he said he'll probably be listed as limited throughout the week, but he expects him to play.
I do too.
As far as his
now,
viewing.
Listen, if he's ruled out by the doctors, then you follow the doctor's orders,
right?
But to me, you don't sit Mitch based on performance or him feeling.
And then I want to play Nagy. This was Adam Schefter today on Cap Show regarding should the Bears shut down Mitch Trubisky based on this injury. And remember, he's got the shoulder as well.
Well, I think they have to be talking about that. And I go back to Sam Darnold last year. Not that you could draw the same analogy, but Sam Darnold was a former third overall pick in the draft in his rookie year last year. Looked just lost, beaten up, regressing, not playing well, hurt his foot, and they said, you know what, we're going to shut him down for a few weeks, and they did. And then he came back later in the year, and he actually finished the year with momentum, and other than his mono this year, he's kind of carried into this year and looked pretty good at times. And I think maybe the best thing to do right now for the sake of Mitch's hip, shoulder, and mental peace and long-range growth is to say, you know what, he's got some injury. It's just me. I wouldn't even blame it all on that. I would say, look, his hip is bothering him. His shoulder's still not right. And everybody could see that he's struggling. So we're just going to give him some time off, and we'll see. We'll reevaluate on a week-to-week basis. Why do we have to say we're shutting him down for the year? Why do we have to make any final determinations? Just give him a break. Let him heal mentally and physically. Let him rest mentally and physically. And then let's see how it goes without him. Let's see what the team looks like. Let's see if he heals up. And then let's make a decision here a little bit down the line.
So that was Shefty. You don't agree with that?
No. I love Shefty. I respect Shefty as much as anyone in the business. I disagree with that.
Don't you? I believe that Nagy will. I've read from a few people I follow who cover the Bears who rationalize that they will not play him, citing the hip, just so people, again, can show, so Nagy can show people that his offense works with a guy who knows how to run it.
Well, then that's disingenuous, and you're doing it to prove a point. You're not doing it to sit the player. You're doing it in some ways to spite the player, if that's the case.
Or to make yourself, because people are pointing a finger at you saying you're a boob, and then say, well, no, if I got a guy who's just a journeyman quarterback who knows how to run it, I could score points with this guy.
Listen, and if that's what they choose, that's on them. to me, if you ask my opinion, you need to play him, barring a doctor telling you he has to sit. Because I don't want to have this conversation at the end of this year going into next year. Well, you know, he only played a certain number of games, and we sat him because of this and that, and we're going to go full bore back into 2000. Right. No.
The line wasn't good. We didn't know how to run the ball.
That's true, and that's true.
Yeah.
That's all true. Why? I mean, this is professional football. This is where you learn the most about people. When you face adversity, it's not the adversity that defines you. It's how you respond to the adversity. He's got a chance to change the narrative. All you're doing by sitting him, other than for an injury reason, is you're putting off the inevitable. Then what?
Yeah. Let me play this, and then we'll get to Dan Weider. For those just getting in their car, when we went to bed last night, we weren't sure about what was going on because while Mitch was benched, Mitch went to the podium second. So Nagy's up first, and Nagy says, look, a couple series before, you know, we took Mitch out is when he probably hurt himself, the way he sort of phrased it. It was sort of sloppy. So we thought fourth quarter. Sometime fourth quarter hit, we didn't see. He got hurt. Then Mitch went up there and said it was in the second quarter before halftime. And as more and more people looked at the tape, they did find that one hit by Brockers, I believe it was, where his knee went into Mitch's hip. And we all know pretty much now where he got hurt. So Nagy went through the timeline again to reiterate, to make it look like he was on the same page. Because just like after the missed field goal from Pinheiro where they didn't want to gain yards, remember the story after that was, oh my gosh, they didn't put Pinheiro on the right hash.
Right.
So the communication process broke down again. Is it really breaking down again now between the head coach and the quarterback? So this was Nagy.
In regards to Mitch, you know, he has a right hit pointer. It happened on the sack at the end of the second quarter. He took a knee by number 90, right into the hip / lower back. And so he went in, instead of going to the tent, it happened there at the end. We did it inside there with our trainer and got looked at and he, you know, was in some pain, but we went through the whole thing. We knew about it, but we knew he was good to go. And so we played. What ended up happening over time with him is it became stiff and tighter. And that's where we ended up keeping an eye on it. And noticing that we wanted to be careful of it affecting his play, and it's you'll see when it happened at the end of the second quarter, and then you'll also see when you go through it, you'll see some of the lack of follow throughs, arm throws, you know, where he wasn't able to really step into things, and so over time, when it became more of a concern with us as a staff. Was when I said it was a couple series. So I knew about it. I knew he had a hip deal, but it wasn't significant enough to not play. And so that. But over time, the stiffness got to a point to where he really wasn't even able to sit on the bleachers on the bench. So that's when I became aware of it, and then we kept an eye on him for about a series and a half, and then that's when even before. They scored the touchdown to go up 10. We had already made the decision that we were going to go in with Chase.
So there you go. They made the decision, according to Nagy today, that if it was a 3-point game, a 6-point game, or a 10-point game, they were going with Chase.
Well, I don't dispute any of that other than, look, I can put on the film and show you a lack of follow-through, poor mechanics, and poor footwork on any given Sunday.
That it's not just a hit.
Yeah.
Dan Weider was on a flight coming back from L.A. with many of the Bears beat writers, does a great job for the Tribune, and he was not at Halas Hall today for the press conference. The Bears did not want to move it to accommodate the media that travels along with the team. And Dan joins us now. Dan, what would you have asked if you were at Halas Hall today, or what would you have wanted clarified more?
It's a great question, Sylvie. It's such a long and winding mystery to figure out what exactly is happening with their decisions about the quarterback. And I'm very curious now because I think this team now is on fracture alert, right? You have to have that finger on the pulse and trying to figure out if Matt is on the same page with Ryan Pace. And if there is any sort of divide in the way those two guys are seeing the situation, we've got a problem. And so I think that's something we've got to monitor this week as we go forward, is who is making the calls on this? Are they in harmony the way they have been for much of their time together? Or is this becoming a situation where it's becoming a little disjointed with who wants what for who and what the best plan is for everybody going forward? I think we can sift through all the sort of noise and the detail and everything else that's involved in this and just come to one conclusion that this team is lost. They're completely lost. The season is lost. They don't seem to have any path out of the woods. They're in no man's land. And you can really get to the end of a night like last night and say, I'm not sure what there is within this team right now that you can actually believe in and invest in.
Two questions. What, if given the green light to play by the doctors, what do you believe the decision will be with regard to Mitch, and what do you think it should be?
Well, let's just get this out here right away, early in the week. I would be surprised, based on the tone of everything that has happened in the last 24 hours, if Mitch is taking his full reps in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And so that would certainly lead you to believe that they're pointing in a direction for Chase Daniel to be the starter.
Is that because of injury, in your opinion, Dan, or because they want him to take a timeout?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And it's really hard to get to the bottom of any of this because they talk in circles. They don't tell you things directly. Then they sort of get angry when you question whether they're being sincere and genuine with some of the things that they're answering on the topic. And so it's a mess right now. It just feels like this offense is a mess. I think certainly if you're Matt Nagy and you want to show the world that it's not your fault, the best way to show that is to replace the quarterback and get results with someone else and say, look, the plays I'm calling will work. And so maybe there's some personal incentive for Matt to make this switch, right? And to see what the offense can do with Chase Daniel under center. If Mitch is healthy, the entire fate of this organization sort of hinges on whether he can be the answer at that position. So you have six more games of a lost season to try to squeeze something out of that. But if conclusions have been drawn by some people within the coaching staff, within the offense, that they already have enough evidence to know that he's not the answer, well, then now all of a sudden you're switching gears and you're in this purgatory, this no man's land that we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks of a team that is just totally lost, totally directionless, can't find its way out, and now you've got drama on top of it. And that's why when we have these conversations 3 and 4 weeks ago about what happens at the end of this season, it's we got to let the whole thing play out, because six more weeks of this is an awful long time for more craziness to happen, and it's going to take a lot of effort from a lot of people to keep this thing from becoming a complete disaster.
You know, one thing that I did not believe with Nagy today, Dan, and I don't believe that this was anything like made up or orchestrated. Yeah, I totally believe that he got a hit pointer, but I do what Nagy said, that this was the decision was 100% injury based. I don't believe it, because like Waddle said, if you want to see bad footwork and bad mechanics, you could turn on any game that Mitch Trubisky plays in. So absolutely, if Mitch was playing well, there's no way you can tell me that he would have pulled him. So I don't believe it was the injury. I believe it's the combo of the injury and bad play.
They had 74 plays last night and couldn't get to 300 yards. Couldn't even get close to 300 yards, really. 267 at the end of the night. You get your defense to hold the Rams to 17 points, get you two takeaways. You can't capitalize on any of it. It's been a new version of the same story week after week after week with this offense, and we've seen the frustration building. Toby, they've earned your skepticism. You're absolutely justified in being skeptical in whatever they tell you. The other part of this is if we're going to sit here and be like, oh, boy, the Bears would never tell you a sort of half-truth about injuries. Well, you know, today it was, okay, Trey Burton's on IR sort of because of the calf, a little bit because of the groin. You know, we went 5 days before Matt ever said that he knew what anyone had told him about Akeem Hicks's injury. It was, oh, I still got to find out more about that. So they have sort of twisted the truth on injuries before. Oh, by the way, another guy with a hip injury this year, Kyle Long, whose hip injury somehow cost him his key card at Hallis Hall. He hasn't been seen since. So the Bears have earned all of this. They've earned all your skepticism. They've earned all the criticism. They've earned all the doubt that's out there. And clearly, when you have a nationally broadcast game like last night and your wires are crossed and getting the message out to people on what exactly is going on with the quarterback change, and Al Michaels announces to a national television audience that the word from the Bears is no word, you're continuing to find ways to embarrass yourself. And I don't know any way around it. And it's a sign of an organization that is broken on so many different levels. And as I tweeted again with updates, you know, it'll be the 11th time in 13 years that they won't make the playoffs. They don't have back-to-back winning years ever. I mean, this is the Chicago Bears, and you guys and me, we have to follow this. This is part of our job. But if you were a fan and you were in an abusive relationship like this in any other form of your life, you would say, this is not worth it. And you would pull the cord and you'd cut bait and you'd find a new hobby.
Yeah, that's well said right there. You mentioned to be on the lookout for a Nagy Pace fracture. I'm not saying that this is exactly Aaron Cromer, Jay Cutler, but we've always comped this season's to the second year of Mark Trestman. Do you believe there was a trust broken between Trubisky and Nagy?
I have no idea, and it's just something we've got to keep our eye on. I mean, Mitch was so down in that post-game press conference last night, and it seemed like so much more than just, oh, I suffered a hip pointer in the second quarter. That conversation that they had on the sidelines didn't look just like a, yeah, my hip's really tightening up, I don't think I can go. It looked like so much more to that. The weird part about the whole setup at the L.A. Coliseum last night is we can't get in the locker room after the game. It's too small. It's too outdated for the media to get in. So they had to bring players out, and then you're kind of walking out with the players toward the bus. And Mitch went up the hill to go toward the bus, and he spent an extended period of time with his agent and his family and some folks that he had at the game with him. And just, you know, about 30 feet to his left, Jared Goff is over there with some people that he's with. And it was almost like the scene from after a high school game, right? You're just kind of in the parking lot. People are coming out of the locker room. They're all sort of mingling together. And it was just a very surreal scene where there were deep conversations being had. And it just seemed like more than what we were being told. And so you just kind of have to follow those instincts and kind of trace them through the days and weeks ahead to see where this heads. And look, you know, if you start having some of those fractures, that Aaron Cromer, Jay Cutler thing didn't happen until, you know, the first week of December. We're still a ways off from that. And you remember how long that made the last month of that season. Who knows what happens from here? I mean, everything is on the table.
Yeah,
point, to be honest.
And I would say this. This is just my speculation and my opinion of it. I while I would not absolve the coach of blame, because I think there have been things that he has done all year that I ask, why are you doing that? Are you really putting your quarterback and other players in position to succeed or give them the best chance to succeed? With that said, I personally believe that the coach doesn't trust the quarterback. I don't think the coach believes in the quarterback, regardless of what he says. Again, this is just one man's opinion. Now, that's where the fracture could become an enormous situation, because Matt, I don't think, is as dialed into the quarterback as the general manager. The general manager traded for him, drafted him. Matt came in, and Matt may have said, listen, you know what? We're going to fix him. We're going to get him right, or we'll get him. I want to work with him. At this point, if the coach doesn't believe in the quarterback going forward, but the general manager does, what do you do? That's why I'm saying, Dan, like, I don't sit him. I mean, I think if he's healthy, okay, and the doctors say he's able to play, and I know what you're saying about Chase Daniel. No, he wants to prove that the offense works with a more veteran quarterback that he trusts. I get it, but the coach is secure at this point. You need to play Mitch. I mean, because I don't want to, as a fan and as an analyst and as a former player, I don't want to have this conversation again in the offseason. Like, well, woulda, coulda, shoulda, maybe can, possibly can, not what. No. I mean, this is what you do. You're a professional football player. You face adversity. You either answer the call or you don't. But you don't get sat on the sidelines to kind of give you a timeout from tough times, especially as a quarterback who you need to make a decision on going forward. All right, I'm off my soapbox now.
It's good stuff.
The reason you do this as a coach is you're taking a hardline stance and saying, I can't go forward with this guy as my quarterback, and I've reached my breaking point. We talked a month ago about, is it time to bench Mitch? And I said it's a no turning back move. It's a point of no return when you do that. And so this could be a power play. You know, this is going to be a situation that develops and evolves and unfolds over the next 6 weeks. And we just have to monitor it every single week, because it is indicative of the direction of this franchise, which right now, I think you guys would agree with me, is directionless.
A couple of random questions I have for you. First,
I like random questions.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And this isn't so random, but it's off the offensive beaten path. Khalil Mack, should he be doing more?
Well, he certainly should have his name in the box score. right? And the only way you knew he played was because he was listed amongst the starters last night. 47 snaps, didn't register a stat. That's unacceptable for the highest paid defensive player in the league, right? I mean, whether that's scheme, whether that's something else, whether something's going on, he needs to produce more. Yes, that's an easy one to answer.
And then secondly, do you have any idea what Anthony, a lot of people were upset about what Anthony Miller was doing with his hands after that incompletion, the bad throw from Mitch, whether people
I'm most concerned that he put his right hand in the air, tipped it in the air, and the guy on the Rams caught it.
Right,
that's the
right,
one thing.
Well,
but,
right.
But then afterwards,
but then he was talking, and I don't know if they were M's from Memphis, are they gang signs? We're not really hip with that sort of stuff. Waddle and I aren't where you go for the gang sign talk. But what was he doing? What's he motioning?
I'm glad you got your ESPN 1000 gang expert on to help you out with
yeah.
this. Obviously, I know a lot about gang symbols with my hard-edged upbringing on the northwest side of Chicago for the first 10 years of my life, right? I have no idea. I don't know, Sylvie. I know you feel this way, that this season has become more than just a 4-6 losing season. It's become a season where the agitation inside the building has led us to sort of get a glimpse into a team that seems to be sort of easily flustered, thin-skinned at times, not able to handle the pressure, the criticism, all those things. It's just not last year. Last year had this fun vibe. The Bears won. The city was electric. Everyone was loving it. And it's just everything has taken a 180-degree turn, and it's ugly in every single way. And again, the scariest part about this is there's 6 weeks left, and guys are going to start to check out. It just happens. When you're this bad and you fail in so many different ways, guys start to check out. And that's why I say it's going to take great effort from a lot of key people in that building to keep this thing from becoming an absolute disaster, and I can't promise you that they're going to get that great effort and they're going to get that sort of rescue effort to keep this from becoming a spectacular flameout.
Do you believe that they'll make a change at the kicking spot?
I don't know. It didn't feel that way last night, but certainly the head coach has lost full confidence. Ultimate faith, quote-unquote, that he had in Eddie Pinheiro 3 weeks ago is now gone because he doesn't know when to kick, when not to kick. You're trusting your struggling quarterback to convert 4th-and-9 because you can't trust your kicker to make a 48-yard kick. You know, he's making, about 70% of his field goal attempts
yeah.
now. This is what I mean. Everything is broken. Everything is broken. You can make an argument that the defense is still holding it together for the most part. Again, 17 points and 2 takeaways last night should keep you in most games to win. But other than that, the tight end position, the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers, the quarterback, the coaching staff, the front office. I mean, how many more do we have to list before we realize that this organization just isn't what we probably thought it was when we were sitting down in Bourbonnais in a nice warm tent in August?
Yeah, Dan, good stuff. We appreciate
Thanks, Dan.
It. Thank you.
All right, guys. Enjoy your Monday.
Dan Wiederer, we'll try. I mean, it's tough with the Bears being
this
bad.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
He's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Test drive the new 2019 RDX. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com. 332-3776. I want to get into why this year, and Dan alluded to it, I was texting with him, for me as a long-time, my lifelong Chicagoan, why this Bears season will be listed amongst the worst I have ever lived through of any of the teams I've followed, and I'll give you the reasons why.
Winter weather is here, and finding reliable contractors for small jobs around the house can be a pain in the rear end. But all that has changed because a new company is in town. It's called Jiffy. It's the easiest way to book quick small jobs around the house. My wife and I need all the windows at our house washed. And after a couple of episodes of bad weather, we have finally settled on a time. And tomorrow they're going to come out and wash our windows. It was so very easy. You know what I did? I opened the Jiffy app. Took like 30 seconds. I booked the job. And within 10 minutes, the contractor got back to me. We've scheduled it. Again, we've had to delay it every now and again because of the weather. But we're on for tomorrow at 7. I'm getting my windows cleaned.
Nice.
Yes.
You can
see
again.
You need your windows
again.
Cleaned? How about your furnace? You need your furnace checked? You need all that stuff? Well, guess what, my friend? Think Uber meets home maintenance. That's what I'm talking about. Stop calling around. Download the Jiffy app. Use my code WADDLE. You're going to get $50 off your first job today. All work 100% guaranteed. Each company goes through a thorough vetting process, and they are held to a high standard as rated by other users. Jiffy guarantees you're going to be happy with every job. If not, they're going to do whatever it takes to make it right. Download the Jiffy app. Use my code Waddle for $50 off your first job today at JiffyOnDemand.com. Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance for less.
Why, this is more than just a bad season. That's next. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
The visor guy, you're making Sylvie cry. He's so much wanted a winner. Not Steve Spurrier, visor guy. Say bye-bye. Soon it will be winter time. Get a knit cap or a fur hat. Put it on that chrome dome. We just need to protect all your genius. A fedora a la Landry or a hoodie like Bill. Just remember to never be you. Oh, visor guy, word salad guy. You've got a mouthful of peanuts and Cracker Jack. Third and one, run shotgun right to the unemployment line.
Wow, that was outstanding. Yeah. So many show phrases.
I blushed there at the end.
Yeah, with the,
the boys. Wow. And it should come as no surprise if that voice didn't immediately sound familiar, because that is courtesy of Edward Cook, the man who dubbed I Wash My Fruit last year.
Oh, nice. Was he the runner-up?
I believe he was.
Yeah, so he's back.
Well done.
The Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest, annual Holiday Parody Song Contest, brought to you by Miller Lite, Enzo Custom Suits, American Sale, Cassidy Tire and Service, Grand and Western Liquors, your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, and the Illinois Lottery. We are coming to Bolingbrook to Tailgater Sports Bar and Grill, where we will crown a champion on December 4th. So put that into your alerts, into your calendar on your phone, December 4th. Tailgaters Sports Bar and Grill.
Put that in my Palm Pilot.
There you go. In Bolingbrook. It's all courtesy of Miller Lite. We have the prizes that we announced. A ski trip for two to Crystal Mountain Resort in Thompsonville, Michigan. 3 days, two nights of skiing. And your ski rentals included, too. The stay. Also, we've got two tickets to see Bears and Packers up in Green Bay.
All right.
And you'll have accommodations there as well. It's brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. The grand champion will win both of those.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to watch the Bears ruin the Packers' season as the Bears beat the Packers and send them into the postseason via the wild card and not the division championship. That's what we're doing.
Don't discount the opportunity to watch some real quarterback play in person as you get to watch Aaron Rodgers and the
against
Packers.
Chase Daniel, right?
No, you don't stop all that.
By the way, second place is a set of four tires, up to $750, courtesy of Cassidy Tire and Service. And all runners up are going to get gift baskets from Grand and Western Liquors, along with holiday instant tickets from the Illinois Lottery. Again, to enter. And like now that. I'm looking forward to, with all these, whether it's Anthony Miller using hand signals, and please, if we do have like an expert, whether they were gang signs, someone hipper than all of us to all this
stuff. Well, that's pretty much anyone who's outside.
Whether you're a prison guard, whether you work for the police department, whether you have been in a gang, we would like to
hear
from you.
Even your request sounds off.
I love the idea that you have to be hip to be in a gang, though.
So let us know, what was Anthony Miller doing? What was the message? Someone tweeted saying Miller was showing an upside-down W with his hands, which essentially means blank the West Coast, or in this case, blank the West Coast team. This guy could be tweeting something that he's completely making up. It could be out of the onion.
No, it was
and
an
I'd
M.
Be buying
it
for
was M's. And what he was saying is that's on Mitch. That's what that was. That he was showing M's, meaning, hey, that's not on me, that's on Mitch.
Maybe he was throwing up M's for saying Midwest, because Chicago's in it. and they're out in L.A.
No, this one's on Mitch.
I like that.
This is on Mitch. Mitch. Don't look at me.
Here's
this
an
is on Mitch.
Here's an I. Here's a T. Here's a C. Here's an H.
Maybe it's an M because I missed that one. And then I'm going to show you that I missed it.
I mean, between that and seriously, and I don't want to go, you know, all meatball on you, and Cordero Patterson taking off his helm. I mean, come on. I mean, all of this stuff is just...
Cap wanted him benched today.
Yeah, well, that's his go-to. Cap's like a robot where if someone does something stupid in a game, goes all meathead high school coach. I'm accountability guy. I am benching you, and you will never play for me again.
You want to take off your helmet? Give me your helmet and sit down.
Did it with Javi, too, this year.
Take that.
Whether you want to tweet us or call us, 312-332-3776. What were the signs? You know, if you're lying to us, I'll take that.
Why is everybody now saying that Mitch needs a break?
No, I don't. Peter King
is doing the same thing. We love Peter King from Football Morning in America saying the same. The best thing for Matt Nagy to do is give Chase Daniel the job for the next 2 or 3 weeks minimum and give Trubisky a mental health break, even if his hip is fine. His arm isn't, and I'm guessing his head isn't either. Listen, with all due respect to Peter and everybody else and Shefty and others who are suggesting that the best thing, what is that doing for you? If this was Mitch in his first or second year, I get it. He's in his third year. You've got some difficult decisions to make.
This isn't Sam Darnold's rookie year, Shefty said.
That's right. This is not. Exactly.
You can't just bench him in the preseason. Now bench him in the regular season. When the guy going to play? When are we going to get the answer?
That's right. You've got to improve, you must play.
Yes, I'm with you.
You have to play as long as the doctors suggest that you're capable of
playing. One thing I was texting with Weeder about, too, this, and I know this isn't usually your thing because this is more me fan stuff that matters to me that you don't care because you're more win guy. Guys are more likable when you win, and guys are less likable when they lose. But I'm telling you, Waddle, this season will go. This is very comparable to me to the 04 Cubs. The 03 Cubs were a surprise, and they were a lovable, lovable team who snuck up on everybody, and then they were really close to doing some really big damage in the postseason. And then the Bartman game happened, and then Game 7 happened, and poof. So it was this fluke ending, and it's sort of similar to the Bears, where the Bears had this really, really great, likable team that you thought the window was opening for, and they had this fluky exit because of the damn kicker. Easy to blame the fan with the headset, with the dorky turtleneck and everything, sitting in the first row, and it's easy to blame the dorky kicker who went on, what was it, the Today Show?
Good Morning America?
Good Morning, I forget
something,
the morning show.
Maybe it was the Today Show, I don't know.
So then, but what I could never have imagined, Waddle, all the regression talk, fine, I get it. Mitch, maybe he wouldn't take the step. But never did I think that every guy that I loved on this team last year would be less likable this year. I mean, Khalil Mack isn't even scratching in a damn primetime game. The coach, who I loved last
year. Khalil's not giving out candy on Halloween.
He's not giving out candy on Halloween. Like, who do you really love on this team that you're looking at these days and say, you know who's awesome? It's that guy. That if you only watched this season, like, Patterson's taking off his helmet. Miller's flashing the signs. The running back that you catered and you drafted, you moved up for in the third round, never gets the ball. And when he does, he's averaging 3 yards a pop. Nobody is likable on this
team. I think
team.
Allen Robinson, who finally, you know, had a drop that was consequential.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he's not perfect. Is the one guy that has, to me, stood out above
what
all.
Happened to my guy, Eddie Jackson?
He played last night. I mean, he made some plays last night. I mean, he flashed, I think, for the first time in 2019.
This to me.
Roquan Smith
played better. But this will go down. This is more to me than just an underachieving year. This will go down in my history as one of those that I can't, like, I'm shocked by. I am shocked. And I know you always say you don't get shocked easily, but I never could have imagined that as likable as they were last year, they'd be they're the polar opposite, a 180 of last year.
I get it. I mean,
they're bad and they're boring and they're unlikable. And they make dumb mistakes and they're not fun to watch. And I want to take a snooze, and it's a pile of garbage is what it is.
Now, I will say this. What you got was the perfect preview in some ways in the playoff game. Not the unlikability part. And I agree with you about that. I mean, they have become a team, whether it's the celebration for a first down, which, my God, you need to get more of those. But in the playoff game, you obviously had the double doink. You had a defense that didn't deliver in crunch time. And what have we said over the course of, yes, they're not the big problem. But how many times have they also showed their humanity and not been able to come up with a big stop, especially in the second half of games this year? You saw an offense that for 2.5, 3 quarters in that playoff game was doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finally, you got a spurt.
It was like the warning shot, the playoff game. That, yeah, I mean, just be careful.
Like, yes. And, oh, by the way, this team that was 12-4 and did all those wonderful things didn't even win a playoff game. So, listen, I was caught up with the improvement as well. I think we both predicted the record would be worse, but they, in fact, could be a better team. And that Mitch would improve, not take a step back. But there were signs that even in that, and I think the playoff game was kind of a, you know, a microcosm of what was at the very least possible, maybe not in this magnificent fashion, but what was possible.
We were fighting for Pace, or at least I was, Pace and Nagy to win Executive of the Year and Coach of the Year. Now people are calling that they want them fired. You know, they can't get stories straight, whether it's why they benched Trubisky, how they set up a game-winning possible kick. Like, everything week to week goes wrong, and it's just a god-awful, bad, boring football team.
The NFL is a fickle beast.
I know, but it shouldn't be this fickle. It shouldn't.
Well, you had a Falcons team that has won a couple games recently, but was in the Super Bowl.
They went to the Super Bowl
a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks ago, everyone in Falcons Nation wanted everyone fired. I mean, things changed quickly.
Did they go to back-to-back postseasons? Didn't they go to a couple postseasons?
They did. No, they did. Remember, they did. And if Julio Jones had caught that touchdown against the Eagles,
that's true,
they would have eliminated the Eagles when the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, maybe the better example is the Jags.
That's who you didn't want to be. You looked at them as the model of who you didn't want to be. Mitch is Blake Bortles, and it's turning into that. 332-3776, if you feel my pain as well. And that's why these last 5 weeks have been horrible.
I have an answer about the Anthony Miller thing.
Oh, okay,
so he tweeted after the game, but since deleted it.
He said, that's on Mitch. M's.
He said, I threw up an M because that's where I'm from.
Memphis.
Not no gang sign. He's from the Ville. Just good fun and competition. Y'all take anything and run with it. So it was a rivalry.
What's from the Ville?
What are you bragging about?
He's from Louisville?
Yeah.
But was that?
The M stands
Metro,
for Louisville?
Schools. No. Anthony Miller went to Memphis.
Memphis.
The guy he was going up against, he was from Louisville.
Okay.
Whoever he was facing on that route or whatever. Whoever was covering him.
Who cares? It was an incomplete pass. What are you bragging about that you're from Memphis?
It wasn't an incomplete pass. It was an interception.
It was an interception.
Right. That you got called for offensive pass interference.
You just picked us up, but I'm from Memphis.
Nice.
Memphis!
Nice catch. We won and covered.
This
weekend,
it was
Memphis.
It was Mitch. That's on Mitch.
All right, 332-3776.
Oh, guys, you've heard me talk about avoiding those off-the-rack suits and the headaches of the countless alterations. Don't waste your time or your money on something that's not going to fit. As I've said to you 100 times, don't be Mr. Parachute Pants over there in the corner looking like a goofball or that guy with the giant sport coat that doesn't fit you, right? Take my advice and go experience true custom. Enzo Custom. Enzo makes beautiful fitting suits for your specific shape and size. This is what happens. You go into the Enzo building, okay? An expert tailor is going to take like 30, 40 measurements. They're going to listen to you so you get the fit and the style that you're looking for, okay? It's very simple, very easy. They have thousands of fabrics to choose from, and the reps are going to guide you through this process in a very easy and enjoyable manner. And how about this? The outcome is spectacular. The fit, the color, the style of my Enzo custom suit is perfect. It's super quick and straightforward. Custom suit start at just $495. Shirts are just $95. Trust me on Enzo Custom. Schedule a free consultation online today. Again, very simple. Tell them your good friends Waddle and Sylvie sent you, and you're going to get $50 off your first custom order. I'm talking EnzoCustom.com.
You know, you gift yourself this holiday season, and the experience and the quality and the affordability
is
something that's going to be, it's going to be awesome. Pick you up from the spare season. Are you as fired up as me? 312-332-3776. Are you as fired up as Waddle when it comes to the quarterback situation? He does not want Mitch benched in any circumstance for a mental breather. 312-332-3776. All your calls next on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, I was just some of just all arm second half pretty much. So just trying to fight through the pain and try to make the throws. I felt like I was still putting the ball in some pretty good spots. And just couldn't move around or couldn't buy time. And just throwing with a lot of arm. So it affected the accuracy a little bit.
He was so down after the game. And like Dan Weider said, was it just because he had a hit pointer? Like, something, we don't know the entire story. Listen, I don't know if we ever will.
I find Mitch to be a likable young man. He works hard. His leadership skills are there. Everyone in the building likes him. He hasn't been good at his job. That's the reality of it, okay? I mean, so when I hear him talk, I mean, part of me is very sympathetic towards it because I want him to play well. But it's just at the end of the day, this is a results-oriented business, like most businesses, and the results just haven't been there.
Matt Mack in Griffith, he's becoming one of my favorite callers, even though he likes to rip me. Matt Mack, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Not true at all, brother. But listen, you are part of the problem. You raise our expectations before every season for the Bulls, the Bears, and the whoever the hell, and the Cubs. You raise our expectations so high, the dive to the depths of depression are so swift and fast, and it's your fault, Sylvie.
Well, you should buy anything I'm selling, Mac. That's on you.
That's right. It's a good point.
Listen, you guys have the best sports show on the radio in this half of the country.
Boom!
You're better entertainment than anything, but you love your team so much, you would sacrifice almost anything to get us all on the bandwagon with you, and it's a killer at the end when we're watching. Mitch has got the mentality of your two sons, man. He just doesn't get it. He's a boy with a beard and a half-ass mustache. He doesn't get it. He should be at a high school prom right about now.
What?
No. Because he's 25. I don't want him. No. We don't want him there, Mac.
We don't want him on a professional. He's not even. He should be holding a clipboard with a visor, hoping that his dad is the coach. Then he's covered for the next 30. But he's not a professional athlete with a set of brass to lead us to the promised land. He's never, ever going to be able to do it. And nor is Nagy, by the way. Like I told you 8 weeks ago, I said, the guy sounds like he's a human resource director. As long as he talks for a half hour and nobody stops him, then he just says, okay, that's it, gotta go. Walks out the door, and you guys are signed up for season tickets again, man.
We have a communication process that we use.
Listen,
it's
Mac,
so good. Don't Mac, be a stranger. It's been word salad for a while.
Yeah.
Now.
We have a clear communication process.
I love talking to him. Ivan in Bartlett. Is it Yvonne or Ivan?
Hey, what up, guys?
Hey.
I love that last song. That guy nailed it. Nagy is a bad play caller. The worst call of the game was when we were, I think, on the 30-yard line or around there, 4th and 7, and Nagy calls a pass instead of kicking a field goal. You know, if he'd have made that kick, he'd have gained confidence and probably made the next one. The running game is pathetic. I despise running out of the shotgun. Instead of running Montgomery out of the eye with a fullback blocking, Nagy starts Cone and tries to run out of the shotgun. Nothing. And when you get a high snap, which is another reason we lost the game all night long, the play is doomed from the start.
Yeah, the running game has been just, Listen, they got their guy.
I don't know what the stats are, and maybe they're not as bad as they feel they are, but is there a team that looks more ineffective on 3rd and short than ours? I mean, 3rd and 1 is like a conundrum for our offense. 3rd and 1
is,
I'm not saying you are, but 3rd and 1 feels like it's an impossible conversion, doesn't it?
I know we need to run the ball more.
I know.
I'm not an idiot.
I know. I'm not calling you one.
And then still, even Al Michaels joined the chorus of people saying that we miss Jordan Howard.
I'm not buying that narrative. I just don't agree with that narrative.
If Jordan Howard was here, he wouldn't be running the ball either. The line stinks and the play calling stinks.
Now, I will say you've traded a lot of draft equity to move up for guys that have not
produced a lot. I know. That's the problem with this conviction. And then he turns out he's not right. Akeem Hicks, we play our favorite game on a Monday. Will he be there or not? And Mark Jean Greco at 5:30. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.